Gather, grow, and go. Let's welcome our Facebook Live audience. Amen. They're live today, and they're coming. Hey, my wife, real quick, because I forgot to do this second service, and they asked, hey, where's she at? Did she, finally get smart? Amen. No, she, Irma is in Brownsville. Her mom's birthday is today, so she's blessing her mom, and her sister drove up this weekend, and I'm thankful for that today. All right, everybody. Good deal, right, everybody? Yeah. And Facebook audience, if you come back, or if you're ever in the city of San Antonio or don't have a home church, come meet some of the finest people. They'll be right here. They'll meet you. They'll bless you. And they'll be an encouragement to you. Right, everybody? The man up thing is up on the big screen. I wanted to tell you real quick about that. I'm about to show you a quick video clip of it. It is October 21st. It's open to all of our sons and our men, our fathers here, single men, married men. I want you to really make it a purpose to go and be in a one-day intensive with me, sit through with me, not as torture, but of learning, of experiencing God. There's nothing like worshiping with a bunch of men. We need that. I know guys go away on camping trips, and I'm not really big into that because I like hotel rooms. Just that ministers to me more than a tent. That's me, though, and it doesn't make me less of a man than the guy that loves camping, right? I like music. They like different types. So what makes you a man is really, are you like Jesus? It's simple. Let's keep it that way. And so different men, but men coming together, hearing the voice of God together. God just does a noble thing. So I want to make sure that you're part of that. October 21st, make sure you take the time off or you schedule it off. It's a day of importance of hearing from heaven for our church. We're really organizing it. We're the spearhead of it. But because of the venue and because of the amount of men that are coming, we needed a larger place. And so we're commandeering Fortress Church along with other churches that are helping us. And so let's be part of that with pastors there around the city. The pastors that are there, Ed Newton, you'll hear from them there. Go ahead. You push the button. It's cool. You're cool. You're cool. Go show it. I'll shut up.
Those of us who are really trying to follow the Lord, one, we can help strengthen each other, and two, we could be a greater witness to the world, you know, as they see men boldly and unashamedly living for Jesus Christ.
But some of you today need to hear this. The God of the universe knows you. Let me pause for dramatic fashion. He knows the stars by name. He also knows you by name. And this is going to be such an elementary statement, but I think it would be profound for us to hear it today. Not only does he love you, he actually likes you too.
Lunch will be included. Great barbecue will be served. Ed Newton, as you heard from backward forward, largest church in San Antonio's Community Bible. He's the pastor of that church. It's grown under his leadership even more so. Great man of God. We're blessed to have Ed. And then Chris Brizard will speak in the afternoon session. And he's a guy that used to be with ESPN, but he took a stand for righteousness. He took a stand for what was right in God's eyes. And ESPN fired him, basically, and he went to Fox Sports Net, which is a lot better. Give me a good amen. ESPN is cursed sometimes, right, everybody? And don't watch a curse, except Monday Night Football when the Cowboys are playing. We can watch it. We can talk about that later, though. Limited time, limited space, $15 registration fee, normally $25. I'll throw in a Ginsu knife, amen, if you do that today. So make sure that you sign up, because I don't think that that's going to be around much longer, but you have to act today. You can do that by earmarking your offerings that way, man up registration. I've noticed this, when guys get something free, they don't stick around all day. I have noticed the men that pay their full amount, they know it costs them, so they're there for the hours, not 20 hours, but they'll be there from 9 to 4. And so I'd like you just to man up, pay that fee, be part of it. Again, if you feel it on your heart to pay for a man, that's fine too. But let the men of God be men and pay for that. $15? Come on, everybody. Amen. God's blessed you. Amen. God's helped us. And so you can be part of that with me, and God will bless you today. Amen. All right. Second thing we'll tell you, I just want to thank the children's workers at Living Faith Church, all the way from our babies, all the way through our youth ministry. They're led by Christina and Gabriel Martinez, our youth pastors. They do a fantastic job every week. They're serving. You talk about worship one, serve one. Well, they're serving. They're not. They do get to worship because I've seen her in the bird's nest, you know, up there. And I need to the sound tower. That's better than the bird's nest, right? So she's a blessing. Make sure that you, we thank our children's teachers today, our Wednesday night teachers. Let's just go ahead and let them hear it from the, come on, they can hear the other building maybe, our second building. It's going to have to be better than that, but maybe one day they'll hear it, amen. And we just want to thank them. They're a valuable blessing to us. It's growing because of what they're doing, and thank God for what they're doing today. And finally, John Jay Outreach is this coming Friday. We'll feed a bunch of students that God loves, and we love them, and that's where they're part of us, and they're part of our community. They come when there's free lunch, and you say, well, why do you do that? They can eat. Yeah, they can probably find something. Some of them, although we know this, some of them forget their lunches. Some of them through the years haven't eaten, and they got a meal. That's not the majority of them. The majority of them probably could eat anywhere, but when they come through and they get a free hamburger or hot dog, they always go, some of them will say, why are y'all doing this? And we answer back, because we love you and we love God. And what they learned is they may only hear that during that week of you telling them that you love them as you're serving them the hot dog and chips and so forth right now. And so you can give towards that. Reach out with me. We need help at the very beginning. It starts right at 10 when we start really setting up. And then all the way to 4, we clean up. And so, again, stay the 20 hours. No, stay the 6 hours or whatever it might be. Right, everybody? God will bless you. Come serve with us, and we'll be blessed today. Do you have your message notes? If you need your message notes, make sure, if you don't have them, raise your hand. We have an usher ready to give those to you. But you'll need to lift your hand so we can note that. Everybody, 100%. We have a great, over here. Right there, Leonard, over that way, behind you, too. If y'all can make sure that Exer gets those and he'll be blessed. Thank you all for moving on that. Well, we're in our second part of You Asked For It. And you asked for last week, the question was spiritual warfare. Give me some thoughts about that, or what is the Bible? And we answered that biblically. And so I'm glad most of you showed up for part two. Part two is about 20 of you asked in the survey that we did in Easter. You asked about really what is the Holy Spirit? Who is this Holy Spirit? What's the Holy Spirit about? And so we want to answer that from the Bible. We'll have some principles. I'll have some thoughts. This is probably a real important sermon in the life of this church, and especially in the direction that we're going. And so why are you asking the congregation to give you sermon material, preacher? Well, because Jesus did that, and we want to imitate Jesus. Remember, people would ask Jesus from the crowd. They would say, hey, master, what about this? Or rabbi, this? And they'd ask Jesus, and Jesus would launch off into this great sermon or teaching. And so his apostles, his disciples, would also ask him questions, and he would answer them. So there's nothing wrong with answering questions. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah. And so you're real mature again by asking the top up. Number 5 here is the Holy Spirit today. And so let me just give you the context of this opening verse. It's found in your bulletin and on the big screen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So the Gospels were written. Jesus' life is told by different people that saw him. And so the day comes when he's saying, you know, I'm ascending. I've risen from the grave. I'm going to leave a comforter to you. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit behind. And so the day of Pentecost comes, which is like their holiday, like a holiday like we would celebrate Easter, Christmas here. The day of Pentecost for the Jewish people was a big holiday. So all these Jewish people are gathered in Jerusalem. Power from on high comes because 120 people are praying and waiting for the Holy Spirit to come in the fashion that Jesus spoke about. And so as it comes, right at the very beginning, in Acts chapter 2, we see the day of Pentecost and the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, which is another spiritual gift given by God, that the book of Acts, now Acts chapter 2, all the way to Acts chapter 19. That's years later, because it's a history book of the book of Acts, right? Everybody, are y'all still with me? I haven't lost anybody, right? You're not in history class, but the book of Acts is a historical book. It's the Acts of the Apostles and what they did. It's an action book. It's breathed full of life of the Holy Spirit. And so all the way, Acts chapter 19 from 2, when the Holy Spirit descends and comes and fills people, in 19, years later, there's still this question being asked. So let's look at it on the big screen, Acts 19, 1. And while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples. These are people that followed Jesus. And he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No, we haven't even heard of a..." Y'all are here this morning, right? Yeah, so the Holy Spirit was an A. We don't even, you know, it was a, you know, the, it. It was, and so these guys in Ephesus, they were all going to go to heaven. Later on, they planted a great church there called the Book of Ephesians was written to them. So it was a strong, mighty church, and the Holy Spirit did visit them. But it wasn't an it or an A, or it was a, it wasn't, it was the Holy Spirit's a person. And sometimes we get it backwards, like, what's that Holy Spirit about, or that it, and it's not an it, it's a person, because it's God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. So it's a person, it's not an it, and it's a very person, because you can't, you, that's why you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can't grieve an object, or an it, but you can offend a person, right? And that's why it says, don't offend the Holy Spirit. And so I think a lot of people are afraid, as they were at this time, or they hadn't heard of the Holy Spirit properly. Sometimes we have, because of what we've learned in our churches and what we've seen, we're afraid of the Holy Spirit. Or, you know what, if I get that Holy Spirit, I'm going to not wear makeup anymore. They're going to take away the makeup, because you've seen those people that get the Holy Spirit. Or I'm going to put too much makeup on. How many would like that, right, everybody? My experience is no different than that. I grew up in a very Pentecostal church as a kid. I've told you those stories. And I remember feeling like a second-class citizen because I hadn't spoken in tongues. And what they didn't teach me is I had the Holy Spirit already. It was in me as a believer. But they said, you know, you got to tarry for the Holy Spirit. You got to pray for the Holy Spirit. And I believe there's a place for that. I'm not taking anything away because that's biblical. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you receive that as you do when Christ comes into your life, because the Holy Spirit resides in within every believer. The problem that we have is this: we leak because of worldly things, or we get our eyes off Jesus, and there's no infilling or fullness of God's Spirit. We're full of ourselves. We're full of other things besides God. And God wants you full of His presence, right, everybody? So what I'm going to teach you today is biblical, and it's not about really tarrying and waiting. It's about being full of God and how you experience just hosting the presence of God. So my experience was, you know, tarry, wait for it, and it comes. And so finally at my little church, there was probably about 20 people in it, and I was 21, the 21st person. I was about probably 13, 14 years old. And this evangelist came through, and he was full of power, man, slick guy, just sharp. And he was preaching God's word so just aggressively, you know, Pentecostal. And I remember just sitting. I said, certainly that guy can get me the Holy Spirit if he lays his hands on me, because I'd heard about it. And so he laid his hands on a couple of people for healing, and they fell out, and there was no catchers, so they didn't get hurt, and they hit the ground. And that's how you know it's God, if you hit the ground and you don't get caught. Amen. So no lawsuits happened that day. Thank God. Amen. Y'all don't get any ideas here. Give me a good amen. And so I went up to him, 14-year-old kid, and I said, and the music was blaring and they were praying for people. You know how it goes. And I said, I need the Holy Spirit. And he looked at me, you know, and you ever talk when the music just dies and then they hear everything you said? They said, he needs the Holy Spirit, all the 20 of them. Amen. So he lays hands on me, and he begins to rock me and spit on me and shout. And he said, come on, let your tongue go. Let it go. And that sort of scene. I know you've never been to a church like that. and nothing would come out of me. And I was trying to force something, I thought. And I said, am I just getting spit on, or is that the glory of God? Or, and I was rocking, and I stopped rocking. And he took his hands off me, and I was still rocking. And I walked away just feeling like I remember, you ever see somebody and they're talking about you, and you know they're talking about you by what they're doing, and you get discernment that way. And I knew one of the leaders of the church asked, ¿Qué quería ese vato? What did that dude want? And what did Mario want? And he wanted the Holy Spirit. And then they asked him, what did the evangelist did he get? He said, no, hombre, nada salió. Nothing came out. And I knew they were talking about me. I was 14. What could I do? I couldn't fight them. Amen. They were grown men, right? I'm going to fight in church. So then, I remember my son Andrew about 2 years ago when he went to Christ for the Nations. It's a school I love. It's a school of the Spirit. It's a school that changed my life. I'm in ministry because of Christ for the Nations. So he went, he said, Dad, his roommates his first year, one of them was named Mando. And Mando, they had this thing at Christ for the Nations. Many of you went for camp and that sort of thing. And they have the same thing. They rock, you haven't received the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive it with the evidence of speaking in tongues and so forth. And I'll teach about that in a moment, about that's not really true. And we'll talk about that. But anyway, Mando went up to get prayer. And they're for specifically the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And they're rocking them, they're spitting on them. And so they get back to their dorm room later and they ask Mando, did you speak in tongues? He said, man, I got so tired of them like leaning on me and praying for me. He said, I just started, you know what I did so they would get off me and leave me alone? I started singing that Wanna Be Starting Something song with Michael Jackson. That song, it says, Mama say, Mama sa, Mama sa, Mama say, Mama sa, Mama sa. And he said, you know what? They let me go. He said, you got it, brother. You got it. I would have said, hey, that's that Michael Jackson song, man, if I would have known. We've done all sorts of foolishness things in church in the name of God. And I don't want to do that at this church. So this is very important to me, especially in our future, on how we're built and what we do. I'm not dictating anything other than the Word of God, but I don't think it should be that hard about the things of God, because God is a Father. God loves His children. God wants to give us good things, right? He's not going to withhold anything from you. He's not going to make you beg for it. God's good, right? I think we withhold ourselves, and that's another sermon, but I want you to discover the Holy Spirit this morning, how misunderstood sometimes it is, but and it shouldn't be ignored. It's a reality that we all need in our life. Every believer in this room needs the Holy Spirit daily. As a shepherd, it's my duty to lead you to the green pastures so you're feeding. And we just fed on the honor series. We had the honor series. You fed there by the... So now I'm taking you to all these questions you ask, and you're going to feed there at the lush valley of green grass, and it's a good thing. You're not being force-fed today. How many have been force-fed in church today? Amen? That's not us today, hopefully. The Holy Spirit is the most important person in the world. It's not the President of the United States. It's not your next-door neighbor. It's not your husband. The most important person on planet Earth is the Holy Spirit. He's the most powerful. He's the most intellectual. He's the most knowledgeable. And you think, well, you know, the Holy Spirit was left here to do the work of God in this present age right now. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah? So English translators, when they had the Bible and manuscripts, they had a problem with the word Holy Spirit because they couldn't translate. They could translate God the Father, the Son of God, Jesus the Son. But when they got to this Holy Spirit, they didn't know how to say it, so they had to come up with this terminology. And so the Holy Spirit's mentioned in the Old Testament, which is Hebrew writing, and then it's mentioned in the New Testament, which is mainly Greek writing. And so let's look at what the Bible says, how it was said, translated over 800 times in the Bible on the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the first translation right there. It's the word, somebody say, Ruach. Almost like you have popcorn in the back of your throat. Come on, Ruach. Almost sounds like a Vulcan word, right, everybody? So it means wind, breath, blast of God. So it would be God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Wind. Do you see how that would sound kind of weird? So that's why they said the Holy Spirit, not Holy Breath, Holy Blast of Breath, We wouldn't want that, but that's what it literally means. And so in Genesis creation account, look at that beautiful verse of how God's creating the earth and how the Spirit of God is there, the Ruach of God. Now the earth was formless and empty. Dark was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit, the Ruach of God, was hovering over the waters. Right, everybody? Yeah, and so let's look at the New Testament, Greek. Somebody say pneuma. Yeah, a current of air, blast of breath, a strong breeze. Now, you might say, well, we can't call him air God. You're the God of the air, God breath. Amen. That wouldn't sound right. So in John, Jesus is speaking here. And Jesus is saying, and the word that I have spoken to you, that's in the Bible, that's preaching the word of God, they are spirit and they are life. Do you understand that today? So that tells me that Christianity and your walk with God as a disciple should never be something boring, stale, that it gets mundane. It should always have life to it, the breath of God, freshness to it. Right, everybody? And so thank God for it. So the translators, when they looked at this word wind, it translated to the same characteristic. Not that we're to worship wind, but we're to look at wind as a form of just saying, there's a character of that, so I need to look at the characteristics of wind the same way the Holy Spirit would, I would respond to it in my life and see that. Is that okay with everybody? So let's look at the Holy Spirit and wind. Number one, principle here, extra notes here. Real spiritual people take extra notes. The people that don't love Jesus don't take extra notes. Just enough said there, amen. Wind is unpredictable, and I'm not going to worship the wind again, but I am going to look at the wind as a character of the Holy Spirit. And so you look at these things that are out there on the businesses, the used car lots or the new car lots, and they're those big inflatable things. And there's wind going through them, and they're kind of doing this, and you're driving by them. They're like 20 feet high, and you're saying, I'm going to go buy a car there, or maybe the grand opening in front of a restaurant. You've seen those things, right? Nobody goes outside here. They're like mannequins, and they're moving, and they capture your attention. And so they're shifting, and it's unpredictable. And so God doesn't always do it the same time, the same way, every time. The Spirit of God is unpredictable. Amen. Now, you control freaks in this room, hold on. You're going to be okay. Because I know how you are. I'm one, and I had to get set free. You work through it, amen. Take some pills, amen. You'll be here next service, amen. You experience something holy at times, and sometimes you want it that way all the time. And God is, I'm not going to be packaged that way. I'm not going to be put in a certain box that way. Because God is not going to be contained that way. He's not a formula. There are certain religions that they've gotten experience God one way, and even churches, and that's the way it always has to be. And God is unpredictable, and I'm so glad because of it, right? It makes us do exploits for God. In John chapter 3, verse 8, and Jesus answered, the wind, the pneuma, blows wherever it pleases. It's going to do what it wants. And you hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. Cotton Eye Joe, amen, see? I wish that country guy was here, man. But, amen. He would have said, they finally got something for me today in church. And so some of you get that at 3 in the morning. So it is with everyone that is born of the
Spirit.
The pneuma of God. Yeah, the Spirit of God. One time in the Bible, there was a burning bush. One time only. It was powerful for Moses. It gave him a commission, but that happened one time. One time this guy came to Jesus and said, my friend, my best friend, he's blind, Jesus, heal him. Please heal him. You laid your hands on these people, do the same thing. And Jesus said, I ain't going to be about that. So Jesus just spit on the ground, got some mud. Y'all remember the story, right? Made it into a mud patty and put it on the blind guy's eyes. Can you imagine the best friend? Hey, that is gross, Jesus. Why are you doing that? You know, but the guy saw. And I believe the Lord would tell us the same. I'm not going to be packaged by you in a box. I'm going to move in certain ways today. Structure is very much needed. Aren't you glad? Amen. Especially the control freaks all say amen. But we need the Holy Spirit to change our lives. If something's going to change our community, it's going to take the presence of God to literally be, I think, unpredictable at times. Thank God for strategy. Thank God for the structure. But thank God that we get out of the way and let God move upon our young people, upon our community. Amen? Amen. And thank God for it. The second thought, wind is, somebody say, powerful. Yeah, powerful nature of wind. It generates electricity for us, but can also, it can level a city. And we saw that with what has recently happened to some of our great cities in Texas, along the coastline in Florida, our Caribbean islands and Puerto Rico. It can level us. That's how wind is that powerful today. It's powerful today. So what I'm believing God for in this hour as I speak to you today, and it ain't going to take an hour. Aren't you glad? Human power can't fix what you're going through in your family, in your children's lives. If you know that human power can't fix you, then you need the Holy Spirit in your life, because you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and it's that power that will get you to the next level. How do I leave a legacy for my children? The most important thing that we do as parents is that they follow in the faith. How do you do that? You got to have something more powerful than you. You got to have the Holy Spirit. See, more things are caught than taught. It's a serving aspect. They see you in this house, and they see you serving, and they watch you, and they see you give. They see you give your time, your talent. They're going to catch that. It's going to be they can go to all the summer camps that they want. They can go to every youth ministry thing that we, and that's all good. But more things are caught than taught. Your example at home, your legacy of driving to church and getting here when you get here. Give me a good amen, even if we got here at 10:45, amen. We got here, amen, and they came with us. Give me a good amen. Amen. They catch that. That we're faithful to the things of God. We're going to church, amen. And it isn't all about church. It's a byproduct of that. But they also see your relationship with God at home. That's why they don't call us hypocrites, right, everybody? Because children can smell that real quick, can they? Amen. And I think it's about being all in. Give me a good amen. Amen. That changes lives. Charles Finney was one of the greatest evangelists that brought revival to North America. And he lived there in the 19th century. He was a lawyer, very intellectual guy. He was also he was a Presbyterian minister. And he brought so much intellect that it boxed God in, and it made God a formula. And it got real stale for him. And so he cried out for more of God. And he cried out for more of God, that he wanted more of God. And there's this quote that he has, that is incredible. I got it on the big screen for you. And it says that Charles Finney, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, said, "The Holy Spirit descended on me in a manner that seems to go through me, my body and soul. And I could feel the impression like waves of electricity going through and throughout me." Isn't that incredible? Yeah. "Indeed, it seemed like waves of waves." I love that liquid love. Because that fire that comes through you. "And I could not express it in any other way. It seemed like the very breath of God." You see that fresh air? "And I recall distinctly, it was like a fan in its immersing wings." And he finishes up to say, "No words could express the wonderful love that is shed abroad in my heart. I wept aloud." You know how you're crying? And why are you crying? "Well, because Jesus has made me so happy. I got joy in my heart." You shouldn't be crying. "No, I got joy because I've been set free." Right, everybody? Amen. "And I do not know, but I should say, I literally bellowed out in an unspeakable gushing of my heart, and it flowed within like a man coming in your life and him taking over." That's how it feels when you get immersed in the Holy Spirit. And so it's critical mission for many of you in this room, that the Holy Spirit fills your life and the fresh wind of the Holy Spirit comes upon you today. We got to get all in today. Amen. Well, do I have to pop a vein in my head? Just have a surrendered heart towards God. Finally, wind is, somebody say, refreshing. Refreshing. It's refreshing. 120 degrees in the car. Aren't you glad for AC in your car? Or at least the windows can roll down. Amen. Don't keep the dog in the car. He'll still love you. Amen. When you open up the door. But you're going to get into a lot of trouble with people if you park at HEB. Give me a good amen. Amen. Yeah, you don't want that today. A dog, have you noticed, is the only one that will welcome you, even in that sort of environment. A cat will get mad at you. Just saying, amen. Aren't you thankful for AC being a gift from God? I remember my dad, when we would turn on the AC when I was a kid, and we would turn it on in May and blow it wide open, man. Well, back in the 70s, man, You get a bill at $200, that's a whole lot of money now, but a whole lot of money in the 70s. And I remember in June, we'd have the windows open because Dad was smart. He wasn't going to pay that bill again. We had those box fans going. Yeah. And nobody had a daddy like me. I guess y'all thought he was a cruel. Amen. He just didn't want to pay that bill. When the wind is blowing on you, it makes you feel good. You're working out. You're coming around a corner and that wind hits you, or you're cutting grass. And I wish this wind would blow. I'd cut 20 yards. Amen. I'd cut my neighbor's yard. But the wind is refreshing, and that's the Holy Spirit today. The Holy Spirit, when it's moving, it makes me feel good. Oh, we don't go by feeling, preacher. But it sure does feel good when you feel it. Give me a good amen. I don't feel it all the time. I know we walk by faith. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, boy, that can take me more than one moment in the presence of God can change me forever. Amen. Amen. God is to be experienced. Amen. In the meal that Jesus had with his disciples, he had this thing called the Last Supper. And it was his last meal as a human man with God in him that he was going to have. And so he tells them, 2-minute warning, I'm giving you the best right now that I got. I got to tell you the most important thing. And the majority of that chapter that he breaks bread with them and has this final meal is about the Holy Spirit. So he wanted to leave them with a comforter, an advocate, somebody to be their lawyer, somebody to be their best friend. And this is what he says in John chapter 14 about the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, you haven't had any fun. Well, you know what? Let me read this because you're maybe gazing at the screen. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, comforter, helper, to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because neither does it see him nor know him. And you know him, that he lives in you and will be in you. So you know that the Holy Spirit is here. And you just know it when God visits Living Faith. There's nothing like it. When God visits your living room and you have that worship music going on and God is there, or in the cab of your car, God is there and nothing. God is here. And I've experienced God, and you can't take that away from me. And God is healing me, and God's making my family better, and God's visiting you. Right, everybody? Amen. I think you ought to praise him for that. Amen. It'll bless you if you bless the Lord today. Amen. Yeah. I remember that church in the early years at Living Faith Church. God showed up. And I remember this man ran out of the church we were at Central, in the building there, the storefront. And he ran out, and we came back, though. Next service, I said, man, I noticed you ran. He said, he didn't know anything. He said, preacher, there was something in that room. There was something in that room. I don't know what it was, but I couldn't take it. I had to leave. And I said, you just keep coming back. And you know, that man has kept coming back all these years from the very beginning of the birth of this church today. Amen. Again, one moment. That little boy told his mama, Mama, I can see the wind. And she said, no, you can't. You can't see the wind. He said, yeah, Mama, I see the stuff flying in the air, the dust. And that's, he said, no, that's what the byproduct of wind is and air is, son. And that's the effect of wind on your life, is the longevity, is the mark of God on your life. See, that's what changes a generation. That's what changes your mind from running this way and that way. The effect of the Holy Spirit on your life today, it will heal you on the inside. It will provide for you on the inside. Amen. It will change your perspective about money if you have the wind of the Holy Spirit on your life. Do you understand that today? So I want you to take a deep breath today. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit today, and receive the Holy Spirit in your life today. Amen. I want you to receive the power of God from on high to come and endue you with the power that belongs to you as a believer today. Amen. Thank God for it. The Old Testament was the work of God the Father, all through the Old Testament. In Jesus, it was the work of Jesus the Son of the New Testament. Jesus, the works of Jesus. But now we live in this age of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is in our church today. Because you're here today. It's all about the building, not this building, but you being part of the building, the living stones. The first principle of the Holy Spirit is this. Number one is this. The Holy Spirit empowers me, somebody says, to live. Yeah. The law is written. It's the law. You know, dread. My mouth is crooked because I saw Sylvester Stallone play that. It was a incredible movie. He should have won an Oscar for that one. Judge Dredd brings the law. Amen. I am the law. Amen. And many of us carry around the law like that with tablet stones, and it's on the outside. It's written and it's hard, chiseled away. The Old Testament is beautiful, but God wants on the outside for it to come on the inside and it to be an inside job. It's so hard to obey the Ten Commandments. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your heart. See, because desire is this way. I want to do that, but I can't. And not to be made to do that, but no, now I want to do that. I want to obey God because I'm so in love with Him. I can't help but to obey God because it's driving me and I'm full of God. It's an inside job and your desires change. You no longer have that wicked desire, that evil desire that pulls you away and makes you feel bad. You have a desire that's good, and you do it because you love God. I'm preaching to the choir, amen. You don't battle the flesh when righteousness living comes upon. And that's what righteousness is all about in Romans. Come on, you haven't had any fun all day. On three, read this together. Facebook audience needs to hear you. Come on, the children's ministry in building one needs to hear you. We're going to read this loud, right, everybody? On three, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. 1, 2, 3, go. You, however, are controlled. Yeah, if the Spirit of God lives in you, you're not going to be controlled by the sinful nature. Amen. And I'm so thankful for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It transforms us. I'm going to obey, obey, obey so I can be a good girl, a good boy. No, I'm going to obey because I love God today. It's an easier way to live. How many of you know that, right, everybody? Amen. I want to. I don't have to. I get to obey God today. Amen. You need to make right decisions in your life. Every one of us in this room need, not about, well, should the house I buy be blue painted or green painted? Should I buy that suit? No, that if you got the money, buy it. Amen. That's the way I look at it. Make right decisions about the purposes of God in your life today, about what God needs. Next week, by the way, I'll teach you, because the question that you asked was, how do I hear the voice of God? How do I do that? Next week, we'll answer that today. Amen. I had a young person ask me once, how do I know if I should spend the rest of my life or marry this person? And I said, well, you'll just know. That's what I told her. You know, because he was a Christian and that sort of thing. That wasn't a disconclusion. He wasn't bad. I would have told her, he's not a believer. You shouldn't even be with him. So when they, I said, you'll just know. And then they kind of walked away a little bit sad. See, there's just something about, you know that you're going to be with this person the rest of your life when you meet them. Maybe it takes even that moment. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Amen. Irma might be watching, so I got to, amen. You just know, this is the person I'm going to be with the rest of you. You just know. And that's what you made the right decision because you know. See, because just because they're cute, young person, or just because cute can still be crazy. Well, they're rich. They're rich. Rich can be crazy. Well, he's handsome. Handsome can be crazy too. You got to know. Amen. You got to know. Amen. And making the right decisions on hearing this is the voice of God. That season I was in years ago when we planted this church, right at the very inception of this church years ago, there was this pastor that I knew in the community in Corpus Christi, because I was a youth pastor there for about 5 years at a great church. And this pastor that knew me in the community, he knew I was back in Texas from Ohio. And he called and he said, hey, Mario, come preach at my church, because I know that. And I said, certainly, man. I was working a job. Irma had just gotten a job. We had two young children. We were living with my mom and dad, 4843. Castle Path, same house I grew up in, you know. So I would go, man. I heard the call. I'm gonna go preach in Corpus for this pastor for Sunday morning. But his motives were this way, and he meant well, but he said this. He says, I want you to come be on staff with me. He was getting older. He said, I want you to be on my staff. I know that you're living, because you told me your story, that you're living with your mom and dad and you're gonna have a house one day. But here's what I'll do for you. In your salary package, I'm going to buy a house. We're going to have a parsonage for you. House, it'll be yours. We're going to give you this salary. And he showed me the salary. He says, you know, look good. He was taking me to lunch, man. He was buying lunch. And he said, it looked real good compared to what I was getting then, which was a bivocational job. And Irma was working. We were living with my parents. And so, am I called to San Antonio, Lord, or am I called to Corpus? Because Corpus sure is looking good. Oh, by the way, we have a Christian school here, and your children are going to go to school, and they're going to go tuition-free because we have a great Christian school here. They'll go tuition-free. He gave me all that in a package, and boy, was I like, maybe this is God, Irma. Maybe we should move back to Corpus and go and be part of the staff. They're doing great things for God. They love God. They want to give us a house. I even talked to a spiritual guy that was like my mentor. He says, well, you know what? You're going to be able to have everything that you'd start from scratch, but you got it now. So why not go after it? And so we prayed and fasted, and I distinctly heard the word of God again and the voice of God, San Antonio. And aren't you glad? Because I would have never met you, and I would have never met the church, which is Living Faith. God would have still probably moved, but it was the right decision to stay here. And we need the right decisions made when we have the infilling and the fullness of God's Spirit today. Some of y'all need to hear that. The second thought is this: the Holy Spirit empowers me to live supernaturally. Yes, you were meant for more. Natural living is just not going to cut it. You need supernatural living today. When people saw Jesus on the planet 2,000 years ago with his disciples, he was doing miracle after miracle, feeding 5,000 people. And then you know what he said at the climax of all his miracles? He turned towards his 12 disciples and he said, greater works shall you do than I do. You're going to do much more. And I've been waiting for that. How about you? Where is it at? When do we get to do all that stuff that you talked about? And we do all sorts of stuff, and sometimes it's foolishness. I know the greater works aren't spooky. I know the greater works aren't crazy and doing off-the-wall things. I'm so glad that God isn't weird. When he fed people, he fed people because they were hungry, but it was supernatural. 5,000 people, right, everybody? When he laid hands on the sick, they needed that, right, everybody? And so there was a need, and he met people's need. And so Acts chapter 10, on the big screen, in your handout, would you read Acts chapter 10, verse 38? And you will know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good. And so the Holy Spirit lets you live supernaturally, primarily, so you can help your family, of course. You can help your children. But then you get out of that box, you start helping people everywhere. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so I just don't want another building. And I don't want another children's ministry that has all the bells and whistles. We're going to get that. I don't want a youth ministry that we just have another youth. I want God's good hand on us. Lord, don't lift your hand off of this church. Amen. We want to honor you. We want to do all the things that would bring the supernatural into this church. See, when you're doing the work of God, the building gets paid off. Amen. Supernatural thing. In the natural, that's going to take 30 years. But God said those people need to do more with their resources than pay off a mortgage. So I'm going to pay it off through them. Give me a good amen. Amen. Yeah, you said that a little bit weaker because it's going to come through you. Give me a good amen. And you'll get more. You'll get more. Amen. Because God's not stingy. 1 Corinthians 2:4. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. We've had too much of that in the body of Christ. But with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on
God's power.
Yeah, let's go on the journey. Amen. It's not about a great building. It's really not about a great ministry for your family. It's about a great God. Amen. And if you get a hold of that, your marriage gets healed. Your life gets healed. Amen. And we whatever your situation might be. I have a great dream to begin something at the new year, and I just launch it before the people of God. I give it to you first. I'd like to begin something called Freedom Groups at the beginning of the year. And what those are called is anyone that's experienced grief and that's walking through that grief. You need to be part of that freedom group. It'll be a course of like a week, a 12-week class, but we'll celebrate victory at the end of it. We'll go through the process if you're suffering through substance abuse and going through that bondage. We'll go through that class and we'll celebrate victory at the end of it. If you've gone through that painful divorce that's hurt you, it's called divorce care. We'll care for the people of our community that come, but at the end of it, we'll celebrate God. Amen? Amen. I'd like to begin that at Living Faith. If I have any takers with me that'd like to come along that journey and help me teach that and do that as we launch it in January, amen, here it comes. It's not for us primarily. Thank God we serve the people within this church, but it's primarily for the outside, the four walls, just like the clothing ministry is, amen, and all that we do with John Jay. Give me a good amen, amen today. Let's look at the final one today. You guys are OCD. You need to fill in the blank. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live on mission. If you're looking for a church just to be about you and your needs, I hate to disappoint you. We're going to be a little bit about that, but listen up. The majority of it, what we've learned through the years as we've gotten a little bit more gray-haired in this room, it's about this. Yeah, you'll get help here if you're looking for the church to meet your needs. But listen to me. Everybody awake now. What we've known is that God, when He flows through you, He gives you more if you give out more. And you become this pipeline of blessing. So get off the ICU thing spiritually and get the so you can operate and you can help other people. In other words, do what you got to do to become a blessing to people. Amen. You're not meant to be a taker. You're meant to be a giver. Give me a good amen. Where, yes, you can clap for that. Come on, I wish you would clap louder. It's a principle of God's word. We do help people out in this church, but you can't always be asking. You got to start giving. Give me a good amen. Amen. I hope I made that extremely clear. You're not confused about that right now, are you? We're called to the community. You're called to your neighborhood, the block that you live on. You're called to your workplace. You're called to your elementary school that you have your child at. We serve more people. We have the capacity of that. The book of Acts is all about leaving Jerusalem and serving people until it reaches the world. That's why they changed the world. They were on mission. And we're on mission at Living Faith to reach beyond the four walls. Is that okay? That's why we do what we do on Friday. We leave the four walls and we serve the students, the beautiful students at John Jay. Do you think David enjoys sweating over a barbecue with fire shooting out at him and him getting his eyebrows singed when he flips 300 hamburgers? He loves it, of course, but he has something better to do. The man's on mission. We have a mission. And when we look at it that way, we're serving and we're serving our community and we can't help but to do it. Give me a good amen. Amen. Thessalonians 1:5. Our gospel came to you not with simplicity of words, but also with power. We're feeding people and with the Holy Spirit, with deep. I am conviction. I am convinced after I receive a cheeseburger from you that you love me. That's what John Jay says. I am convinced after we do trunk or treat in the community and it's all free that you really love me because the way you set up your SUV is really cool and you did that for me free. Amen. Let me bring it in and close it up here real quick. We can do what we got to do here. And it's this thought. When I was a teenager, again, I told you about that experience of them spitting on me so I could pray and, you know, speak in tongues. Well, years later now, I'm driving. I'm like 19. I got my first car, and I'm driving to this church where they're like the Holy Spirit's visiting. It was known in San Antonio back then. And it's a big venue. It's no longer there anymore. So I'm there at that church, and it's a night service, and they're worshiping God. And I'm on like the 99th row, way in the back. And I'm with my buddies, but I'm worshiping God. I'm singing the song. And all of a sudden, the worship minister, he starts singing in the spirit. And the song comes out of his mouth, isn't of the understanding, the words on the overhead. Back then we had overhead projectors. And he starts singing a heavenly language, his tongue. And then I'm not copying them, but man, I was singing in the understanding, and as much as I tried back when I was like 14, now I'm like 19, something just starts rising out of me, and a beautiful heavenly language is just, I'm singing in the Spirit at this moment, and I'm caught up in heaven, and God is just baptizing me and blessing me, and something just changes me at that very moment today. And it wasn't that anybody laid their hands on me. That's okay if that happened. And that's a beautiful thing if that happened to you. Nobody shook me. And again, if somebody shook you, I'm all for that. But just something of surrender. I said, Lord, I thank you. And I received another. That was the gift of the Holy Spirit. Another gift came of tongues. Do you understand that today? Yeah. So thank God for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. See, in the book of Acts, when all the power came down, some spoke in tongues, the Bible said, and some didn't. It's almost equal. So if you don't speak in tongues, can I set you free here? You're not second class. You have the Holy Spirit. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Those that speak in tongues just have the gift of speaking in tongues. It's another gift. Thank God for it. We don't beg God. He's a Father. We lift our hands. We surrender our lives to God, and God flows through you. Amen. Let the song of the Lord begin in this place today. Amen.
Amen.
Would the worship team come, and we'll dismiss in a moment with a song of faith today. We're going to receive the tithe and offering also today. Show me the last slide today. Christina, thank you for your help. Let's read this together on three. Come on, everybody, on your paper or on the big screen. One, two, three. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Makes me better so I can serve more people, so I can help more people. How about, do you want to do that, church?
Amen.
Is that the sort of church you want?
Amen.
Then come join me. Amen. Let's be part of living faith. Let's change the world together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand right now to our feet right now. Bow your heads right now. We always want to give people the opportunity to meet Jesus as their Savior today. Hold on to your tithe and offering too if you can. We'll be able to give that together in a moment with a decision that we'll make. Amen. Our heads are bowed before a holy God. And we take a spiritual step right now. So try not to move around too much right now. You're not joining this church right now. And I'm not going to ask you to even leave your seat. I am going to ask you right now, are you feeling guilty? And do you feel shame? And if you do, it's because you haven't given that shame to Jesus. He died on the cross for all your shame, all your guilt today. You're far away from God today. You've never said yes to God to become your Savior today. It says that all that call upon the name of the Lord, that's you and me, shall be saved. We make a confession by faith right now that Christ is going to come into our life. In this room today, again, not to embarrass you, I'll just ask that your hand is lifted slightly. I'll see it and I'll pray for you right where you're at. You'll make an altar right where you're at. The reason why I'm asking you to do this is because you got to make some sort of confession, some sort of declaration, but you can do it right there. Keep the dignity right there where you're at today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'll note it. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're in this room and you never said yes to Christ, would you say yes to Jesus right now? If that's you, lift your hand. I'll lead you in a powerful prayer right now. Your friend, yes, God bless you. Beloved, you can put your hands down. I see your hands. Somebody else making sure? Two people? Just making sure. Thank you, Christians. I see you praying in this room. It's awesome to see your lips moving like that, asking God to help us in this church today. Two people lifted their hand right now. For the two that lifted their hand, amen, we stop this service because it's the most important thing that we do right now. And we ask that Jesus would be our Savior. You pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. And because you're my brother and sister, I'm going to pray it with you, and so are the rest of us in this room today. No one knows who you are today. God does right now. Let's pray this prayer, especially those that lifted their hand. Let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin, all the shame, all the guilt I bring to the cross, the cross of Christ. And Jesus, you died for my sins, all my shame. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me clean. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. All of us in this room, lift your hands just a little bit, just like a cup in front of you, just in front of you. Everyone lifting their lifting their hands forward like this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, fill your people with the Holy Spirit now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the touch from on high. Endue them with the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Fill us afresh, precious Holy Spirit. Yes, thank you, God. Thank you, Father. As an act of worship today, we bring the tithe. We don't give the tithe. We don't pay the tithe. We bring the tithe to the house of God, the storehouse. And if this is your storehouse, we bring the tithe today. We really bring it back to God because it all belongs to Him. But God gives us stewardship in our lives, manager. And we manage. And He allows us to keep 90. And we bring back our 10th today. It's the beginning of the month. I want to pray over your tithe as you hold it in your hand. Irma and I brought our tithe, and I have it right now in my hand. If you'll hold yours or get it ready, there's several ways to give. You can open your eyes, look at the screen. There, you can give online always at Living Faith SA. You can give text to give on your smartphone, 77977. And then the key word is Living Faith. It's not case sensitive, lower, upper. You'll be, and then you can give by check or cash the old-fashioned way like I'm doing today. And we hold our tithe in our hand.